Blog Talk Radio.
Products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, November 18th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on that Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, set a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We do hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several.
pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We have a great show and a very full show lined up for you today. And so without further ado, it's time to introduce my wonderful co-host, partner in crime, author, and poultry advocate, Pat Foreman.
Hey, Whisper, it just keeps getting better and better. I'm looking forward to the trumpets when you can get that trumpet call. It'll either be the Chicken Whisperer or Heaven calling me. Oh, gosh. Only 7 more days to Thanksgiving, 1 week to the Grateful Day. And I can't believe that this year has gone by so fast, but I got to tell you, I'm grateful for the whole year. It's been quite a ride, and I know for you too. So I was thinking last night as I was kind of drifting off, starting to list all the things I'm grateful for and appreciate, and my gosh, it just went on and on and on. It's just wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, Thanksgiving is a week away, and I put something on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, and I put, do you plan on buying a heritage breed turkey for Thanksgiving? Do you process your own turkey for Thanksgiving? Have you ever tried a turducken for Thanksgiving? Yep, turducken. And 11 comments so far have come back. We've got, let's see if I can cover a few of these, if my computer will cooperate here. Or let me rephrase that, if Facebook will cooperate here. See what we got here. And got lots of responses from it. And actually, many of you know that it's a Facebook issue. Many of you know that my wife actually won a turkey. I guess at her school, she filled out some little form for some business that wants to get the teacher's business. And enter to win a free turkey from some company. And sure enough, I guess they drew her name, so they're dropping it off today for her. So we'll take a look and see if it's a butterball or whatever kind of turkey it may be. But so we're getting a free turkey for this Thanksgiving if it's worth using. So we've got that. But yeah, 1 week away. We've got Thanksgiving, you're correct. And so tomorrow will be our last day on air, and we're taking next week off. We've got But tomorrow's going to be exciting. First off, let me, before I forget, announce the secret password for the chicken coop contest. Today is Thursday. It is SPUR. Today's secret password is SPUR. And so that makes, guess what, 23 passwords. So check your list, 23 passwords that we have announced on this radio show pretty much daily for the weekdays. And tomorrow, Friday the 19th, we'll have the contest. We'll open it up. Tomorrow, listen in. You have to listen live to win because you have to be the correct caller. So tomorrow, the 19th, Friday, our last show before Thanksgiving break, we'll have we'll start the contest. Caller number 9, caller number 90, caller number 106, caller number 53, whatever caller we deem tomorrow. If you're that caller, great. But now you have to recite all 23 secret passwords that we've been announcing on the radio show and posting on our Facebook page. And so if you have a little work to do, who knows, maybe you can befriend somebody in the chat room or on our Facebook page to try to fill you in with the words you don't have. But tomorrow is the big day. We'll be giving away that awesome chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. So we're going to make sure everybody tunes in tomorrow for a chance to win. Looks like the chat room, of course, today is filling up, and we do have a very busy and full day. But I do have a couple announcements to make before we really get into chickens in the news, which I may do that after we bring on Matthew with a McMurray Hatchery, because today's chickens in the news, I'll recap, has to do with our guest that's calling in at 12:30 today. So I'll try to tie all that in together. But two announcements I wanted to make. First, we'll start with the happy news. Jen and I are going, to her first official doctor's appointment since we found out that she is a Prego. And so I think today we listen to the heartbeat. I'm not real sure, but I still see this correlation of food. You know, it seems like every week it's like the size of a sesame seed, the size of a peanut, the size of a jelly bean, the size of a grape. And I'm like, somebody mentioned on my Facebook page, soon it'll be a snack size Snickers bar. Yeah, soon it'll be a fun size Snickers bar, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah, and the next thing you know, it'll be a king size what do you call it, Reese's peanut butter cup. Who knows? So I've seen this correlation of the size of our little one baking inside and incubating inside, I should say, of correlation to food. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if we'll be able to see anything today or if we're just going to be listening today. No clue. Absolutely no idea. So we've got that. So after the radio show, very soon after that, she's going to swing by here from work, pick me up, and off we go. Many of you have already been through this, and I'm just going to like, you know, okay, here we go. We'll see what happens. So I'll share with everybody tomorrow what we see, what we hear, and if it ends up being some type of event, but we will see. So I just want to make that good news. Now, the bad news, the tragic news, and many of you who follow me on Facebook, both my personal page, Andy Schneider, and on my Chicken Whisperer page, are fully aware of this. And I asked everybody yesterday, as soon as I found out, for thoughts and prayers. But yesterday, you may have seen this in the news, yesterday in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, it's the very north end of North Carolina, a police officer was shot multiple times on a traffic stop. That police officer happened to be my nephew. And so I got the phone call from, I guess it was my dad, and then I got another text message and another phone call message from my niece, his sister. And you can see all the news reports. They're online. If you just go to Google and type in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina police officer shot, you'll see all the reports, the videos on it. Apparently what happened was, according to all the news, that he pulled over a suspected stolen vehicle. The vehicle was reported stolen earlier, and it was on a stretch of I-95. I think it was coming southbound lanes of I-95, coming just into Roanoke Rapids. But he pulled them over, and news reports state that he walked up to the car, engaged in some conversation with the young lady in the passenger seat, and then the driver pulled out a gun and shot him 4 times. So he was transported to the local hospital. Then they airlifted him to another, I'm assuming, trauma center in Greenville, North Carolina. And he was in surgery for several hours. And again, from the news reports that you can see at Google, shot 4 times, twice in the neck, once in the abdomen, and then once in the wrist. And so yesterday, of course, we were sending out lots of messages. Please send prayers. Please send happy thoughts, whatever, you know, your beliefs are. Of course, we ask for prayers. And all the prayers up to this point have been answered. He was in critical condition yesterday via, again, all the news reports. And then today the reports that we've got was he came out of surgery fine. They had him, you know, sedated and whatnot, but he's going back to surgery again this afternoon, if not already, to repair his wrist. Again, I want to let all my listeners know we're like one big happy family. You come here every day at noon, and we talk about different types of different kinds of. Hang on one second. News things that are happening, and hang on one second. Let me fix something here on my computer. There we go. And so I just wanted to share that with you because I'm a firm believer in prayer. And so wanted to, you know, prayers are still needed. Please continue to do that for him. But they have not caught the two perpetrators, I guess you want to call them. And so there's big manhunts going on right now, helicopters, cars, and everything else. So just wanted to share that with everybody and continue to keep my nephew in your prayers for a speedy, healthy, and complete recovery from his injuries that he received yesterday on that traffic stop. So we want you to be aware of that. So anyway, so good news, doctor's appointment today with the wife. Sad news, nephew being shot in the line of duty as a Roanoke Rapids police officer. So please continue to pray for him and a full recovery. So I just wanted to share that with all my wonderful listeners. And we got tons and tons and tons of comments on both the Facebook pages. So we thank you for that very much. Okay, I want to get over to, hang on one second. Just wanted to share that with you. Let me get over to the phone lines here. We're going to bring on Matthew from McMurrayHatchery.com. McMurray sponsors every Thursday Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show, and we thank them for that. And we've got some great prizes to give away at the later in the show today from McMurray, and we'll be sharing what those are with you here in just a second. But Matthew's going to join us live right now and tell us and give us an update about the photo contest, I'm sure. So, and what else is going on with McMurray? So, Matthew, thanks for joining us today.
Hi there, Andy.
Hey, Matthew.
Hi, Pat.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Well, we've just launched the finalist poll for the breed photo contest, the best breed photo portion of the contest, and we ended up, there were six finalist photos. That normally we would have had five, but it was such a close race, it was we couldn't really distinguish well between five and six, so we included the top six photos in that, and that's the information on how to take that poll and see and rate the photos is up on our blog, blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com. So that's the last phase of our chicken photo contest for this year. And then we also wanted to announce we've got some of the juvenile birds in stock now. So there are there's peafowl, some varieties of peafowl, pheasants, swans, quail, and geese. Not everything's in stock yet, but there are a number of varieties. And these are juvenile birds. They range, depending on the type of bird, like the peafowl are four-month-old, the pheasants are 16-month-old. They're different ages based on the type of bird, but they're mature birds or somewhat mature birds. So those are up on our website, and you can order those for delivery in 2011, which is just around the corner.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So do you have a lot of orders, increasing orders for mature and older birds, Matthew?
I don't. You know, I haven't really looked at that in depth. But we definitely, you know, this time of year, all the orders are really increasing as we're starting to come into that main hatch season.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wonderful. I'm sure it's going to be another record-breaking year for you guys. and all the hatcheries, which is exactly what we want to see. We want to see chickens in every yard that hunts them. Yeah, great.
I guess a lot of times people right now actually are getting their orders in for spring as well, because I know that over many years past, there's been a shortage, especially of the rare breeds. And so I'm betting that they've learned their lesson over the last couple of years. And I remember about 3 years ago, hatcheries were contacting folks and they were saying, hey, order now. It's going to be a busy season. We may run out. This may happen. And people, even their feed and seed stores didn't take heed to that. They just thought it might have been a marketing ploy or something. And then next thing you know, they didn't do that. They didn't order early. And then once spring got there, they were placing their orders like they normally had in the past. And the hatcheries were saying, sorry, you know, we're 8 weeks behind. We told you to place your order back when we did. You didn't listen to us, so now it kind of sucks for you. Because we told you this was probably going to happen. And so yeah, it was. It's not a advertising ploy or a PR gimmick. Because even at the beginning of spring last year, many breeds were sold out for all of this year already. So definitely, if you have specific breeds, especially if they're on the more rare list, then you probably want to go ahead and make your order now. Especially if you have a specific date or month or week you want them delivered. And if not, then everybody I've talked to, from all the hatcheries to Tractor Supply and all the supply companies and the magazines and everything in this industry, you know, are really getting geared up for this year being a tremendous and amazing year, even bigger than last year and the year before for backyard poultry. So I think one part of that, Matthew, is that, you know, your neighbor may have gotten backyard chickens and you're like, oh, that was really cool. And maybe a friend got backyard chickens and you've been thinking about it, but you wanted to see what happened over the course of last year with them raising them. And then now more people are like, you know what, they can do it. I can do it. I see the benefits. I've tasted their eggs. I'm going to do it too. So this year may be that catch-up year where people who have thought about it, especially with all the news this year that's been you know, out there about backyard poultry and the movement, this year may be that year where people are like, I'm going to do it this year. More people are aware of it now. They may have seen friends do it, and now they're going to jump into the bandwagon as well. So if you're looking for rare breeds, go ahead and place those orders. Otherwise, at 6-8 weeks, if you can even get them at all. So, and give us that...
Whisper, you know what I've offered is a wedding present to some dear friends of mine of a flock of chickens. I'm going to give them three eye candy chickens, a Bardrock, a Buff Orpington, and a Black Osterlorp as a wedding present. And they're thrilled. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea. It's the gift that keeps on giving, and it's the gift that will really start giving about 20 weeks after you give them the chickens. So
no, these are mature hens. They're laying right now. They're going to give right away. There's no delaying with this. But it's the first time I've given live chickens or live anything except flowers as a wedding present. But they're absolutely – you think I was giving them babies. They're so tickled.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we received a pair of chickens as a wedding gift about 20 years ago.
Did you?
Yeah. or at least a gift certificate, and then about a year later we were able to move someplace where we could have chickens, and that's where we started our flock, at least as an adult. We always had them growing up, too. But
mm-hmm. Great.
A Rhode Island
great
red
idea.
Rooster and a hen.
Maybe I'll start doing that when people graduate or get married. I'll give them have a baby, whatever the case may be. I'll give them a few chickens as a gift and see how that pans out. The only sad thing about that
is they
really
want them.
I was gonna say yeah, that would be the only drawback. I can just see it going to the wedding shower, and you know, the people are like,
yeah,
that box. That box over there is moving and has some holes cut in it. Wonder what that could be.
And it's clucking. It's a clucking wedding
present. I have threatened people to, I said, one of these days you're not going to know it, but one of these days you're going to get a box. The postman's going to call you from the post office, or the doorbell's going to ring, and it's going to be 25 baby chicks right there at your door. And I haven't done that yet. I've threatened it on a few people, but haven't done it so far, because mainly because of the welfare of the chickens, making sure that they get properly taken taken care of. So, Dragonfly in the chat room says, "Hey, Andy, you can send me a couple if you have too many." And we've got about 33 in our backyard. So, anywho, but Matthew, that's great news. Thank you very much for sharing it. Give us the website where people can go to the blog. And, of course, it's McMurrayHatchery.com is the main website where they can actually purchase and order their poultry. But give us that blog address.
The blog is blog.McMurrayHatchery.com. So you just
blog.McMurrayHatchery.com.
The www with blog, and that'll get you to the blog.
Perfect. Yep, Love for Poultry just posted that in the chat room, so everybody can click on that and go to it. And today's prize is a couple of awesome tote bags from McMurray Hatchery. They've got the logo there that matches the hat. It matches the notepads and the sticky notes that we've had on past on the show. And so a couple of tote bags. So when you go to the grocery store, take those bags with you so you don't have to use those plastic bags or the paper bags. And people will be asking, "Oh, I love that. Where'd you get that?" McMurrayHatchery.com. You can go and order one too. I know we use our tote bags a lot for our groceries when we go to Whole Foods and buy some food from that from them over there. So perfect. Well, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us today. Always a pleasure. Every Thursday, sponsored by McMurrayHatchery.com, they come on, tell us what's going on regarding the photo contest, and donate great prizes for our Thursday Chicken Trivia Contest, which we'll have later in today's show. So, Matthew, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Matthew.
All righty, very cool. I'm looking at the switchboard. We're waiting for Dr. McCray to call in. She is actually at the 4-H Poultry Judging and Avian Bowl competitions that are being held right now. And, in fact, Marcia on our Facebook page said, "Go California!" And so I have to say, "No, go Georgia!" And so we'll see. I'll be anxious to hear the results, and maybe we can have some of the winners of the 4-H Avian Bowl live on the radio show. How cool is that? A lot of the questions that we ask for trivia on this radio show come from the 4-H Avian Bowl competition. So it's very, very proud to be able to sponsor that and to support that, as we always try to do with 4-H. Just a reminder, because we won't be on the air next week, is that we will be broadcasting live next Saturday, November the 27th, from the Carpet City Bantam Club in Dalton, Georgia. I think almost all the carpet in the world is probably made there in Dalton, but that's where it gets the name. The Carpet City Bantam Club fall show, I think it's the Fall Bantam Show, in Dalton, Georgia, and we'll be broadcasting live, both with sound, chat, and video. So live radio show, live chat, and live video at that show, if the communication and the technology gods cooperate, then just like we did at the Ohio National, live video, live interviews, live chat, and live radio as well. So we hope to be doing that on Saturday the 27th. We'll be reminding everybody, of course, on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page as well. But just a reminder, too, yes, I count. Some people were saying 23 or 22. I count 23 passwords. This started on October the 19th, and we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 passwords, and then tomorrow the 19th we'll be giving away that awesome chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com valued at $400. So, unfortunately, Funny Farmer, I wish I could archive the video. I need to contact Blog Talk Radio, but I don't think it's even possible to do that. If it would, how cool would that be, where people could just go back and listen to the show and watch the video from the show as well, especially that one from the Ohio National. That was first of its kind, I think. So very, very cool. So, yep, I've got 23 words there. I've got, 23 words for the past. And I'll go back and confirm that, but I got 23 words on my calendar here. And I think initially I had said maybe 22, because we weren't anticipating on having a password Friday the 5th. Friday the 5th, we had the national webinar with the USDA, and so I wasn't anticipating on having a password that day, but I think we ended up having a password there on the 5th. I think we may have announced it the day before, and then the Monday after the holiday, or after that day we didn't have a show, we actually announced that. So very cool there. Let me get over to Switchboard, and we'll see if Bridget's called in. If not, then we will see what we got here. Hang on one second. Hang on one second for me. Get over here to the Switchboard and confirm something right quick. Got a great show. Let's see what we got here. Okay, perfect. All right. And we know Bridget is busy, so we let's see what time. 12:30. Because it's long distance, I'm going to go ahead and go to the phone lines. We're going to welcome. This is we've got. Hang on just a second here. I want to make sure we get everything great for this interview. And I've got some the news that I want to correspond with this. Perfect. We had talked about this earlier in the show. We had posted these news articles on our Facebook page and on Twitter, and I'm just going to go through them very briefly here, and then we're going to welcome Steve Green to the show. Comes to us from CBC News. CBC News, Windsor man seeks chicken bylaw change. And very briefly, a man from Windsor, Ontario, is asking city council to change a bylaw that prevents him from raising chickens in his backyard. Bylaw 8156, passed on March 18, 1985, bans the keeping of chickens, turkeys, ducks, and other domestic fowl within city limits. The fine for violations is $100. But rising food prices and growing concerns about food safety mean people want more control over their food supply, and keeping backyard chickens is a real solution to the question of accessible protein, according to resident Steve Green. So we've got one article about there, about him trying to working for 2 years to try to get this law changed, supporting backyard poultry. Then we had another one, City Balks at Urban Chickens Proposal. Again, residents who want to raise backyard chickens will have to put their dreams on hold, as City Council has refused to set up a committee to even look at the possibility of urban chickens. Council decided at its Monday meeting to defer the matter indefinitely. In reality here, there were a handful of people who thought that having chickens running around in the backyards of homes in Windsor was an excellent idea. However, I felt that having our administration spend more time on building a bylaw and enforcing a bylaw in this regard was clucking ridiculous, said Council Drew Dilkins. Steve Green, the resident behind the movement to allow backyard chickens, told CBC News he is angry with the decision. He said he was led to believe it would be a formality to establish the committee, so he didn't bother to show up at the council meeting. So sounds like some trickery may have been going on there. Trickery. Is that a word, Pat?
We'll make it a word. We all know what
trickery
sounds like. They did some behind the scenes and under the table dealings to get to stop it. So.
Yeah, Windsor City Council.
Where are you getting these? They're great.
Oh my goodness. Well, at least it was at least it was hang on one second. At least it was I won't be nice. Windsor City Council.
You are an idiot.
I know I'm bad. All righty, we're going to welcome to the phone Steve Green. Welcome, Steve, to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, where we talk about, fight for, support, educate, all about backyard poultry. And Steve's calling all the way up there from Canada. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
Yes, thank you for joining us. We've actually had several folks on this radio show in the past from Canada, because we know the movement is sweeping worldwide, and our neighbors up there to the north, let me tell you, we're in support of you guys too, doing whatever we can, educating folks, and that we found that that's a big deal, that people are just, let's use the word, ignorant when it comes to backyard poultry. They have no idea normally what you're talking about. When you say backyard chickens, their mind just wanders. They've never experienced 6 or 12 hens in a backyard and what we're talking about, and so they just vote with knowledge that they have with no knowledge, basically, of what we're talking about. But your story is unique. like Pat said, sounds like some, you know, backstabbing and things were going on. So let's start from the beginning. I briefly read the first article that we had about you working so long to try to get the laws changed or go through the proper process of getting the law changed. And then everything seemed to be going well in your mind. And the next thing you know, it was just like, oh, sorry, sucks for you, as a term I use quite a bit. So start from the beginning and tell us kind of and walk us down this path of discouraging news.
Sure, no problem, Andy. One of the things we wanted to recognize right away was that the city council would not have a very good understanding of backyard urban chickens. So we started by approaching the licensing committee and acknowledging the challenges of, the misinformation that's out there. And I provided about a 25, 30-page research document just letting the licensing commission know the problems that can exist and then the benefits when done properly. So we were upfront right from the beginning about how there would be some concerns. We submitted that to the licensing committee and we went through the usual waiting periods for them to schedule you in, which takes about 6 months for every little change you make. And we got to the point where the licensing committee and three council members, Carolyn Postma, Alan Halberstadt, and Ron Jones, and the rest of the licensing committee thought, this is a reasonable request. He's not, the group which is now 262 city members strong. That back then it was about 100, 140 members. But we got to the point where the council recommended. We went to the last licensing commission, and the council members and licensing commission said, this is a great idea. These are the members that from city that we'd like on the committee to study this issue. These are the members of the public that have all volunteered their time to step forward. A number of them had been coming to the licensing commission meetings to get to this point. And at the beginning of the licensing commission, they welcomed me up to the front and said, "Steve, we recognize that you put a lot of effort into this. We'd just like you to know that this is now just an administrative matter. We're putting it forward with recommendations that city council allow us to take a look at the issue rather than just write it off." They gave me a bunch of verbal promises. They shook my hand on it. The council members, Ron Jones, shook their hand on it. And I went away a happy man, and I thought this is wonderful. This is great. I've been working right towards this. Fast forward to the following city council meeting, and in discussion with the council clerks, they had said that this was going to be voted upon, and I'd been assured that it was an administrative matter. And lo and behold, one of our friends in the media called me that night and said, "You know what they did?" And I said, "Well, I'm assuming they approved the working committee, and you'd like a news statement about that." And Gino Conte from CBC said, "Hate to tell you, but things sort of went a little different than what you were led to believe." So I found out by the reporter that the one of the council members who wasn't involved in the discussions at all motioned that this administrative matter be shelved indefinitely. And when they took a vote on it, the same councillor that shook my hand said, "This is just a min matter now." And whom which I said, "You're not setting me up, Ron, are you? You're not setting me up for." Yeah, big surprise. He's, "Oh, no, of course not." And, of course, we were also undergoing a municipal election in a couple weeks, right? So I'm not sure if that had anything to do with it. Ha-ha. And so the same member voted against it, even though they had worked with me for 2 years to get us to the point to not approve the bylaw, but just to take a look at separate truth from fiction. And so, I can't help but feel a little like I got stabbed in the back there.
A little.
And
I mean, you got a sword. You were impaled.
Yeah, I was impaled. And one of the things that has been common with Windsor City Council, which I find very disrespectful, is the laughing and the mocking of this real food security issue. This is a food security issue. We are a depressed city,
right,
and we need good options for our residents. And, you know, there's a lot of us that already go ahead with this and have them, no matter what they say, and benefit from that. But, you know, for city council to pull a maneuver like that was just, it was, you know, I mean, I recognize that sometimes our politicians aren't maybe the most honest or transparent of individuals, but that was pretty ballsy. That was pretty brave. I mean, this
mm-hmm.
coming from a council that doesn't even know the difference between a rooster and a hen, and doesn't even understand that you can have an egg without a rooster, you know. So that's how educated the Windsor City Council members are.
Wow, that's an amazing story. So
yeah,
elections are coming up. I mean, won't you, the voting population, there must be quite a chicken advocacy group. I mean, they must be outraged.
Well, they are, and it's been in the paper every day. A good political satire was in yesterday. We've had articles every day. We had an open house, Coop open house last weekend in the city for people to come and see what the big fuss was all about for one of our CLUC members here in Canada. And, you know, I was mentioning this to, you know, first I was really angry, and the more I watched this start to play out, I mean, there's another article in the paper today from a prominent doctor talking about this in the Windsor Star. The more I think about it, I mean, the more I think, but well, geez, maybe this was the best thing that happened, because a lot of people, whether they agree about the decision or not, are outraged at the way that it was handled and the way they
mm-hmm.
They dropped the egg, let's say, in this matter, and now it's on them. So
yeah, I mean, it's not the way I would want my public officials to behave, certainly under the table. And then if they're doing this about chickens, what are they doing about other things? I mean, it's just not an integrity, totally out of integrity. Wow. Well,
yeah,
maybe you get a whole new city council.
Yeah. What was that?
Go ahead, Mr.
What was that last statement? Or I missed that, Pat.
Oh, I said maybe you'll get an entire new city council and mayor out of this.
Well, we had our elections, and the elections went through, and unfortunately, these two members are still going to be on the council. But I can't help but think their term may be tainted, like the industrial eggs they eat.
Oh, dear.
Right. I've got a question for you. I saw in one of the articles where one of the councilmen made a statement that, you know, he was listing all these issues that may come about by having backyard chickens. And I found it humorous that one of his statements were, or one of his concerns was, we need to figure out what in the world would happen if somebody had a dead chicken in their backyard. How in the world would we dispose of that? And you know, I was like, are you kidding me? He's actually publicly saying we need to write an ordinance. We need to be concerned. There needs to be rules about how to dispose of a possible dead chicken. Someone may wake up and go out into their backyard and find. Uh-huh.
Yeah, unfortunately, Andy, the reason we'll never know is because they voted to stop the investigation as to what we would do, which you and I know, but what we would do. And, you know, that's the absurdity of that. They brought up all these questions that they clearly already had the information for in the research document that was done for them. But they brought it up, voted it down, and refused the opportunity to look at that. So, you know, how will we know dot, 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 but let's vote it down so we'll never know. One of the other great comments that they made was that, you know, think about the rat population is going to increase. So at the city council meeting, I said, then our downtown must be full of chickens, friends, because
yep.
the rat problem downtown has nothing to do with the chickens.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and so when you realize that this is the mentality of what we're dealing with, you know, sometimes it takes away a bit of the anger and just makes you feel a little sorry that, you know, political grandstanding is more important than addressing real needs of real citizens who need real solutions to have a little more control over their food security, over the food basket. Next thing you know, they'll be banning the Swiss chard in my front yard or the tomatoes growing along my back property line because what will we do if a tomato falls on the ground? Will anybody hear it?
Oh, a Conan. It's a local food security Conan.
Yeah.
No one is there. Can you hear the tomato fall?
It just shows that we're not just dealing with this nonsense here in the United States, but also in Canada. They're dealing with it in Europe. They're dealing with it in Australia. It's absolutely amazing how government on the globe has run amok that we're having a lot of the same issues worldwide because of government run amok. But it's like, you know, what does he think that you're going to do with that dead chicken? Getting back to that, because, what does he do with the – what is he going to do with the, you know – leftover rotisserie chicken that he had for dinner tonight. He's going to put it in a garbage sack and he's going to take it out to the street. Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of like when the lady came up to me and said, I was asked that, you know, what are you going to do if a chicken dies in your backyard? And I'm like, you know, some people may bury it. Some people may put it in the compost bin. Some people may put it in the garbage bag and take it out in the street. And they're like, you're going to put a dead chicken in that, you know, like, what do you do with your rotisserie chicken when you're finished with it? And then they realized what they had said and how absurd it sounded, turned around and walked away in embarrassment. Just like the lady who came up to me and asked me, what do you do with all the chicken poop? And we explained to them compost bins, gardening, putting it in the garden, putting in compost bins. And then we talked about some people may use it like you do a litter box. You'll go out daily or every other day, scoop up the chicken waste, put it in a garbage bag, take it out to the side of the street for municipal garbage. And she's like, you're going to put chicken poop in the municipal garbage? Are you kidding me? And then all I had to say was, ma'am, what did you do with your child's diapers for the first 3 years they were wearing them? You put them in the garbage, didn't you? And then I went, oh, my gosh, you put human poop in the municipal garbage for 3 years? Oh, my gosh, call the police. So and then she realized exactly what she had done and the absurdity of it, turned around in embarrassment and walked off. Because, again, they like we all do sometimes, speak before we think, or we talk about something we have no clue about. And so that was two awesome ones where they just walked away in embarrassment, shaking their head. Like when we were trying to get a bill passed here down at the state capitol in Georgia, and a lady stood up there, and she was obviously in support of small town city governments, things like that, and had all these what ifs. And I asked her afterwards. She walked right by my chair. The meeting was adjourned. I stood up and I said, I do have one question for you from your statements that you made in front of the council. I said, you mentioned something about decreased property values, and I was wondering if you have any proof at all whatsoever from anywhere on the planet where by having chickens in a backyard or having a town allow backyard chickens that it decreased somebody's property values. Do you have any proof where someone got $10,000 less for their house because a neighbor or the town they were selling their house in had chickens? And she's like, well, no, I don't have any of that proof. Okay, then why did you just go up there and yap about it if you have no proof to back that statement up? It's absolutely it's just like the other issue is that with the statement that we hear a lot, well, if we allow chickens, then what's next? Goats and cows and pigs and horses on a city lot? And again, moot point. Show me, before you start yapping, show me, and I'll ask them, say, well, do you have any proof of the hundreds of towns that have allowed chickens in the last, you know, 5 years with this, you know, movement to get back to knowing where our food comes from? In the last 5 years, out of the hundreds of cities that have allowed backyard poultry, can you name one that now has a cow problem? No. Okay.
We had a similar statement like that, Andy. I love the comments that I heard I know the hearts and minds of my constituents, and I know that they don't want urban chickens, of which, you know, my thought on this was, And this was done by a scientific poll. You know, so,
well, it's,
I mean, that's what we face, you know, the blabbing of claiming facts that have never, ever been proven. We kind of joke sometimes in my circle about the Windsor City Council's scientific studies that they do, because they always seem to come out in favor of what the city council wants, and it's quite a coincidence. I mean, in other scientific communities, you know, you have varied results, but at our council members, the scientists that are working for them down at Windsor City Council are spot on when it comes to their recommendations.
Interesting. Well, just some people's facts are more factual than other people's facts.
True.
Well, yeah, but you know, here's the issue, is that if, you know, and we've come across this before, where the city council members will say, they'll you know, pretty much, if you do a really good job, you know, which I'm sure you obviously have, if they'll listen, presenting the factual information and factual information, debunking all the misrumors and stereotypes, that I found that for the council members, they basically have two choices, because if they look at the facts, there's no way they can't say, okay, I'm going to vote for chickens. So they have two choices. One is to just come out and say, you know what, I don't want chickens. I personally don't want chickens. I wouldn't want my neighbor to have chickens, so I'm voting no. Regardless of what anybody says, I personally don't want them. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. And so,
that would be their dream, Andy.
You realize you're talking about
transparency and honesty and using the word politician at the same time. I mean, come on. Who
right,
do you think
exactly.
I am?
So, we know they could do that, but a lot of them fall behind that little shield of, and how many times have we heard this, I was elected to this position, and that means I have to do what my constituents want me to do or ask me to do, and so the majority of my constituents don't want this, so I have to vote no. Well, the problem with that is they also have a responsibility to, if their constituents are saying no to information they have no clue about, they have no education on it, and they're saying no to myths, rumors, and stereotypes, not the factual information, then I feel, my opinion, that councilman has the right to either educate his constituents to let them, so they can make an educated decision, or for him to look at the research, him to read and separate all the law, the myths, stereotypes, and misunderstandings, and then make an educated decision himself, and then go back and explain. Say, look, all your fears and your worries and all this were mis. You know, I had to vote on the facts information here. So I think he also has a responsibility,
right,
that if everybody
yeah.
is saying, I don't want them, I don't want them, I don't want them, and it's based out of fear and misinformation and stereotypes and false information, he or she has a right to vote on the factual information. We had a gentleman here that said, oh, I've received hundreds of emails from people who don't want this. Well, the chicken supporters got a open records request and found out that, no, that was not true, that in fact, if memory serves, he got more in support of chickens than he did against. And so his face was red. He had some egg on his face regarding
yeah.
that. And then it was like, oh, I'm talking about the people I play golf with at the country club,
mm-hmm.
the people I talk to, my next door neighbor.
Spin,
that's
spin,
what I was
spin.
About.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I got two comments on that to make. And the one is, we've opened up the internet gate and asked Windsor citizens to, you know, if you're interested in this, participate in the poll. We kept it very simple. Do you live in Windsor? Would you agree to having urban chickens? So far in this poll, we've had about 270 people respond. We've had four no's.
Wow.
We have their names and their addresses, and we've had four no's and about 264 yeses.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's hard to argue with, isn't it?
It's true. The second issue is, I completely agree that it's the council members' duty to inform of both sides. And a good example of how they do this in Windsor is they've spent over $6.5 million convincing people that we need a new bridge, you know, not the one beside the Ambassador Bridge to Detroit, but to build a new bridge. They spent $6.5 million on ads and lawyers and promoting their idea over another organization's idea. How much have they spent to inform the taxpayers of Windsor on the benefits and drawbacks of urban chickens? So they're you know, how, yeah, that's right. How, you know, so they know how to do this, but it always comes back to their own self-interest and their own desires. We will invest our money and our time and our concern in things that we personally, as the council members, think are important. In other words, you get back to an Orwellian concept here that says, I will tell you what is important and what we will do and what your opinion will be. Sometimes it's like dealing with the Ministry of Truth.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to mention names. Probably everybody who listens to this radio show has seen the clip of this many times because many news media outlets run it. But it's when, and I'll just say he or she says, we feel we can spend your money better. We feel that you know, remember that clip? And I'm not going to go and say who it was, but when they say, we can spend your money better than you, or we know how to spend your money better than you. And yeah, right. Yeah. I've heard that a million times.
Hope,
I love that.
And they are spending our money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's an important issue to keep in mind. We are paying their salaries, and we are giving them our tax dollars, and we don't appreciate people telling us that they know better, that they know best. We want to have an open, honest dialogue, which we were promised in Windsor, and which we got stabbed in the back about.
Well, can you reappeal it? Is there the protocol there to bring it back and just keep bringing it back and bringing it back?
Well, we're regrouping. We've got a strategy planned and a special night planned to have maximum impact. You know, they picked the wrong guy to try and muzzle.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Crow loud. Or squawk loud.
Yeah.
Steve, I appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on. That's great. Please keep us posted, and we'll keep you posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Steve, good luck to you, and let us know if we can help you in any way in the future.
Thank you very much, Andy. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, best of luck to you, Steve. May the flock be with you in every way. So, and truly, let us know if we can help, because that's part of what we do. So you keep up the good work, too.
Absolutely. We're going to go to commercial break, folks. When we come back, we've got chicken trivia today, brought to you by McMurray Hatchery. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg candlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from.
Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
This looks like a job for Super Chicken. You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And my co-host there, I hear laughing in the background, is, of course, Pat Foreman. I don't know what's so funny, Pat.
I just don't know what to say, Whisper. Where'd you get the ooga?
Oh, me.
What a hoot.
One of those things. So we need to have a trivia question, and we need to have a lucky winner call in. And I've got the trivia question right here. And for all of you out there who don't listen to the show on a regular basis, the call-in number 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. We're going to take, this may be pretty tough for folks, so we're going to take caller number three, and we'll see how many people can dial in the fastest and get this. The question today, again, the sponsor of today's Chicken Trivia Contest is McMurray Hatchery. The winner will walk away with two, not one, but two awesome McMurray Hatchery tote bags, cloth tote bags. Question is, caller number three, what is the distinguishing characteristic using the feet between the Australorp and Jersey Giant? So what is the distinguishing characteristic using the feet between the Australorp and the Jersey Giant? Caller number three, 347-637-3237. If you don't know the answer, that's quite all right. You'll still get a ribbon.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, dear. You are full of it today. Yes, and maybe even a blue ribbon.
Love it.
So
caller
in.
Number three.
Okay.
We'll take caller number three. And, of course, what is the distinguishing characteristic using the feet between the Australorp and the Jersey Giant. That's what we're looking for. So a little bit more difficult today. You might actually have to do a little searching on Google or Scroogle or Yahoo or WebCrawler or whatever search engine you happen to use. So we'll see who may know. Okay, we have gotten a lot of questions, both on Facebook and in the chat room, regarding the 22 passwords or 23 passwords. And so let me kind of clarify this. And in the chat room here, I'd like some of your comments as well in the chat room, because y'all are our regular listeners. And so when the contest initially started, we had talked about there being 22 secret passwords, because we knew we would not be broadcasting live on November 5th. Friday, November 5th was the USDA national webinar, okay? So we weren't anticipating when we started this contest of having a password that day, even though there was a password actually reserved for that day, if you will. So I believe, and I'll go back and listen to the show, but I believe on Thursday the 4th, we not only gave you the password for Thursday, November 4th, but also Friday, November 5th. And then I think on Monday when we came back, on the 8th, we actually gave you the password for Friday, November 5th, which we weren't going to have. So some say that was 22 passwords, some say that was 23, and partially that was my fault, because, yes, when the show started, we did not anticipate doing a password on Friday the 5th, but there was one issued there. I saw someone in the chat room earlier say, yes, there were two passwords issued on Thursday the 4th, one for Thursday the 4th and one for Friday the 5th, which would make 23 passwords. If you count all the days, then we have 23 passwords, including Friday the 5th. So that might actually be the let's see what's going on there. That might be the issue there. And so if you have any issues in the chat room or can confirm that, then, of course, let us know. But I've got 23. Have you been collecting them, Pat, or are you just taking my word for it?
Taking your word for it.
Okay.
I was.
That's my word.
I was collecting them, and then I missed a day or two. I think I was traveling or something. I didn't write it down, so I'm taking your word for it, because I trust you totally with the password protection for poultry protection, or whatever it is, password selection for poultry protection.
Yes. You are correct, Connie Farmer in the chat room. We do have a lot of homeschoolers across the country that listen to this radio show. They take a little lunch break at noon, depending on where they're at. They implement this into their curriculum, if you will. So, in fact, we're looking at, and I believe my personal assistant, Christina Duncan, has been reaching out to some folks who are going to have a show about gardening in the classroom and things like that, for, and maybe have a day of the month or 2 days out of the month where we'll have some type of, not official curriculum, but beneficial shows for the homeschoolers that are out there when it comes to keeping backyard poultry, sustainable living, composting, gardening, the whole nine yards. Other than our awesome show on the first and third Wednesdays, Your Garden Show. .com. Yes, there's always quite the curriculum there in the chat room, Aaron. You are correct. You just never know what's going to happen there in the chat room. I think all subjects are covered in the chat room on a daily basis, especially Fridays. I'm telling you, even on Fridays, the curriculum in the chat room can be quite interesting. Quite interesting. All righty.
You really,
you know,
never
what?
Know. Some of the things are so funny, too. I mean, I just end up chortling here. I have to put myself on mute. Some of them, I laugh so hard. So. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm surprised more people don't know this. Well, actually, I'm not, because I didn't either. Do you know it, Pat?
No. I do know, though, that the Jersey Giants, as a breed, I learned this at the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy Conference, they're meant as to be small turkeys, pretty much, in cooking. And you have to grow them out for about 18 months to get around a 10 to 12 size roaster or cooking bird. And that's their purpose in life, was as a large meat bird. That's why they're the Jersey Giants. I didn't know that before. And then there are special ways to fix them, because they will be a little tougher than, of course, the commercial birds. So every breed has a purpose. And the Jersey Giants is not necessarily what's between its feet, but what's in the oven. Did you know that, Whisper?
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
See if there's anybody, any other, while we're waiting for you, let's see if we can go ahead and open these comments here. Yes, we can. Okay, when I posted, actually, do you plan on buying heritage breed turkey for Thanksgiving, or do you process your own? Lori says that we've done our own turkeys before, but this year someone else in the family is in charge of the turkey. This should be interesting. would love to try a turducken. It looks amazing. Tina says, I just heard of the turducken the other night. Haven't seen one yet. We did a turducken several years ago and loved it. Steve says, we raised our own bird this year for the first time. We thanked her for her life before we killed her. It was quite the experience. We will enjoy her on Thanksgiving Day. Pardon me, Renee says, the whole turducken scenario gives me the willies. The whole turducken scenario gives me the willies. I'll gladly pass. Teresa says, turducken just doesn't seem right. Kind of like GMO in physical form. Now, it's not really. You could have a pasture-raised, an organic turkey and duck and chicken, and then what you do is once you process them, I believe you have the turkey, and then you put the chicken inside of that, and then you put the duck
right
inside of the chicken, and then you baste it and cook it all. So no GMO there, says Serena says they've never done the turducken thing before, but this year we are doing a 30-pound
whoa
turkey that my son raised for an FFA project. This is the third time we have done our own homegrown turkeys. They are wonderful, and yes, my son helped process the bird. So
wow,
a lot of people have it home. Liz, her husband, got a wild.
We raised some that were. We had some customers say, I want the biggest one you got. And so we'd give it. They couldn't get the oven door closed. I don't know what they ended up doing, but they can get so big you can't fit them in the oven. Wow.
Kyle says
that's big. Go ahead.
Turducken is great. Kyle says turducken is great. Takes a lot of time to make it, but well worth it. To save a lot of time, get the butcher to debone the birds. And they actually featured one this morning on Good Morning America that was deboned. All you had to do was slice it, and it was a turducken. And then someone was talking about actually plucking the birds. And they're not a big fan of plucking the birds. That's one of the parts of processing that they did not like. There happened to be two tables down from me at the Ohio National, a company that made pluckers, and they were big, and very reasonably priced. Some of them, and they sold out. They sold out the first couple of hours that they were there with everything
good
that they had, and they didn't even come back the second day. I forget the name
oof
of it. I did see them advertised in I believe it was Backyard Poultry Magazine, and it's brand new. And what makes it so awesome, it's a full-size, huge plucker, but it's at a very, very small kind of home plucker price. So it's very, 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 very cool. All righty, we're going to the phone lines because the question today, what is the distinguishing characteristic using the feet between the Osterlorp and Jersey Giant? And that's what we want to know regarding the feet. Regarding the feet. Okay, we're going to the phone lines now. We said caller number 3123. All righty, you're live on the air with Andy and Pat on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, calling in from area code 509. 509, you're live on the air. If you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hey, I think this is Jean again from Washington, Pits and Peeps.
Oh, hey,
how you
hey
doing
there. Hey, I know this answer because I have Americanas, and we have such a problem with the difference between Americanas and Easter Eggers. The answer is Jersey is going to have, like, yellow feet, and their legs are going to be willow because they have yellow skin, and Australorp has white skin, so the bottoms of their feet will be white.
Oh, yeah! Way to go. Oh, yeah!
Do I win?
You
I win?
Are.
You win.
You're
great.
All right.
Awesome.
Cool.
So what I need
keep
you to
this
do
line
is
open
just
for 24 more hours, though. I need the other. I need that. The other
oh, the
prize for tomorrow. Yes.
Oh, that's the biggie.
Hey,
I've got a silky living in my living room.
Why do you have a silky in your living room?
Also, I gave it to my daughter, and I can't put her out with my large fowl Americanas.
They beat up on her?
Excuse me?
Do they beat up on her? Is that why?
Yes, they're kind of mean. She's just
Aww.
Too small.
Aww. Well, keep towels or something on the back of the couch.
Love for
yeah, we have a towel out. We have a permanent towel out for petting the silky.
Love for Poultry says, you're not alone, that they have a Koshin living in their living room. So you're definitely not alone. Definitely not alone. So
not a couch,
perfect.
But a Koshin, huh? Now, yeah,
yeah,
and Love for Poultry says, get chicken diapers, have a good supply.
I haven't tried that yet.
I couldn't get any of my chickens to get used to them. They just were so uncomfortable. But they might. I can see where they'd be awfully handy and a good thing to have when they make public appearances. But Oprah Winfrey just couldn't settle down. She'd go backwards and squat, and just there wasn't enough time to get her ready with a chicken diaper.
Oh. I don't think my son would go for a diaper. My husband would go for a diaper wearing bird in the house. Yeah.
Oh well, your husband doesn't have to wear it. He should be trained by now. It's a
oh.
chicken.
He just calls them nuggets with wings.
Nuggets with wings.
No, I love it. Nugget. Oh my goodness. All righty. Well, Gene, thank you very much. Congratulations. If you'll send me over via Facebook your shipping address, I will forward that over to Matthew at McMurray Hatchery, and they'll get you out these two awesome cloth McMurray Hatchery tote bags that then you can use them for whatever you like, toting in firewood from outside or going to the grocery store and picking up groceries or, you know, depending on how big they are. I know there's about 50 million items in my wife's purse, so she could probably use this as a purse. So whatever you choose, they'll be having two tote bags heading your way out there to Washington. We appreciate you listening and calling, and congratulations.
All right. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All righty, Pat. I had Manapro's on Manapro's website. They haven't asked the chicken whisperer portion or section or page. And I answered a couple of questions yesterday. I thought since it looks like Bridget is probably tied up at the Avian Bowl, and I just love that name, Avian Bowl. Yes, sir, what would you like tonight? Yes, I would like to have the Avian Bowl with a loaded baked potato, sweet tea, and I'll have a piece of pumpkin pie for dinner, yes. Would you like your Avian Bowl with broccoli? Without? Oh, my goodness. So she's probably all tied up.
Chickpeas and eggplant to go in the Avian Bowl.
Yes. So she's probably tied up with judging. So, and I figured we'd take a couple of subjects here. One subject that I was asked on the ManaPro site was they have a rooster. They just got a rooster. It didn't say how long they have had them, but the rooster was 10 months old. And that the rooster was just plain mean. In fact, their son, who is an adult, like a 20-year-old son, I believe they said, went outside to collect eggs, and the rooster came up, flew up in his face. Thank goodness he had his glasses on. And they had read some methods online doing research about what I call the cuddle method, and where you're like, oh no, if he ever charges you, what you want to do is you want to pick him up, you want to cuddle on him, you want to give him some loving and caress his waddles, and then you know, and teach him that way. I've never had that work in the history of having chickens ever. Some people have had it work, but they were familiar with that. And then some people, you know, she said some people are just talking about, you know, be mean right back to them regarding that. And so we can talk about that a little bit. We just have about 10 minutes left. There we go. But I wanted to share that. and Love for Poultry was like, no, they grab them by their feet and then hang them upside down for a little while. and maybe they get that pattern. Well, what I did was explain to them, say, because I didn't know how long they had had this rooster, and if it was already had this mean spirit before they got them. Apparently, they were it was in a backyard. They didn't want roosters. They just had hens. So they took him so he wouldn't go to the frying pan, apparently. So now they're wondering what to do. Well, I shared with them, if it's the first time, you got to nip this behavior in the bud quickly. You can't wait. So they may be way far past the learning curve here if that roo already had this problem before they obtained him, versus it just starting this episode. So I tell folks, look, the very first – and people don't understand, Pat. They're like, but I caressed him. I held him, and he was hand-raised, and he's been so nice. But next thing you know, boom, he's attacking me and charging me, and he's going to hurt one of my grandkids. So, and I just don't understand it because we were so nice to him all these years. Okay?
Try a buck.
That's what they do. So you have to do is take charge. Exactly, that's your job. You have to let them know. Let that rooster know that you are the alpha male. You are in charge of him and the flock and everybody else outside in your backyard. And so, no, we don't condone beating the living, feathers off of your chicken. We do not advocate that at all. But I can tell you the loving methods never worked for me, and I've never, some people say, well, I use a squirt gun or a super soaker and, whatever. But I can tell you the aggressiveness has worked for us several occasions, and when we do and have had a rooster in the past that got aggressive, as soon as that behavior started, the very first time, that was it. We kept a broom right next to the gate to the pen. And we'd walk in. Every time we walk in, we had that broom. And if Mr. Rooster would charge us, then we would use the bristle end, the soft end, the sweeping portion of the end of broom, and really with that let him know who's in charge. So we're not hurting him. We're not inducing any pain. We're just showing him by that that you're in charge and showing force back to let him know that you are the alpha. That's worked for us more than on one of occasion. So I like the so-called broom method. The cuddle method has never worked for us, the squirt gun method or any of that. But the broom method has worked in the past, and it's just over and over and over. And it never really took us that long to get that rooster trained to, hey, we're in charge, not you. And we took that broom, and every single time we went to collect the eggs or do some type of work into the pen. And so a lot of people in the chat room were, and I told them, I said, this may work, this may not work, it may be too late for this rooster to, old dog, new tricks type of thing, and so you may end up having to send him to freezer camp. And so that is always an option, and y'all have to make that decision. So we talked about that you need to nip it in the bud soon. The cuddle method never worked for me. The broom method has, the water method didn't with the water hose or what have you. And then of course, hanging upside down like Love for Poultry does. And so what are your two cents worth on that, Pat? Because like I said, that's worked for us, and we're not being mean, we're not harming them, we're not hurting them, we're not causing any pain, but we are using that broom a little bit to discourage that rooster from charging at us.
Well, it's interesting. I've noticed over the years that if you have just one rooster in a flock, it seems to take its job much more seriously, and they'll tend to get more aggressive. But if you've got two or more, they somehow, I guess they feel that they could take you on if they had to. But I've heard this from other people that was just one rooster that they'll just kind of be mean. In fact, one of them it was a buck I gave at, was starting to be aggressive just with the one. I gave him to a friend, and I said, this rooster is very protective. They wanted that because they had foxes. Well, that guy ended up attacking the tractor. I mean, he would attack their dogs. He just kind of went over the top, so they ended up, I think, just shooting him in mid-attack. He was so vicious. But then that same rooster, when I had an older Buff Orpington, would not attack anything. It was just, he sort of deferred to the older rooster, and the older rooster was such a gentleman, he never was aggressive at anything towards anyone. So, I don't know. And there was an interesting comment by Kelly in the chat room, too, saying that during breeding season, they tend to be more aggressive, and she carries her broom in or a stick in during breeding season. But I guess, Kelly, the rest of the time, he kind of isn't quite so aggressive. So I think there's a whole rooster psychology there that I'd like to know more about. And I remember being with Carl Hammer up in Vermont, in Montpelier, Vermont. He's got those 1,200 composter chickens. You know, he was saying how the roosters would form coalitions. They would work. You get three or more together, and they start to work as a group. And they know that it's sort of the game theory. They know that any one of them really can't get the hen. They have to kind of share. Share meaning if instead of racing up and bumping each other off of the hens, they would just sort of scatter out and form their little harems or henems, I guess you'd say. But aggressive roosters, I don't want them around. I mean, if there are kids that come around my flock, and if they start showing any kind of aggression, especially towards me, but towards the dogs or towards anything, I get them a new home or send them, like you say, to rooster freezer camp. So, and that's not something I want to breed for either. So, that's I call them out pretty religiously. That's my position on roosters in my flock. Yep.
Today, also yesterday, we got another Ask the Chicken Whisperer question about meat birds, and she was basically asking, should she keep them, could she let them free range with her hens, or she should keep them separate or keep them in the same coop or the different coop and whatnot. And Jen and I had some meat birds probably about 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago. We're going to be doing meat birds again this summer, and we will probably document some of that on video and put it on YouTube. But I told her that that when we had meat birds, well, first off, I told her, I said, you know, be prepared that they are going to poop more and they're going to eat more and they're going to drink more, and which means they're going to poop more than her laying hens. So number one, be prepared for that aspect of keeping meat birds. We had a dozen meat birds here, and they got. In fact, this was a while back, and we initially bought them as, I think, white leghorns, but they were White Cornish Cross. And so they got huge and huge and huge and huge and huge. And then literally their poop was as big as our dog's poop. And they were going through like something like 8 gallons of water a day. They were going through like 15 pounds of feed a day. I mean, it's just ridiculous how much they were eating. And so I told her to be prepared for that. I told her that I didn't see a reason why they couldn't free range with her hens. We kept ours separate because we fed them, you know, separate feed. She may want to choose to feed separate feed to them. Then she does her laying hens, and so I told her just my recommendation is what we plan to do is we were going to, yeah, sure, let them free range out during the day if that's what she did. I separate them at night, have them their separate feeds that they're going to eat if you choose to do that, but I didn't see a problem with having the meat birds out there and during the day free ranging with the rest of her flock, getting all kinds of great bugs and grass and everything else. I also told her that she shouldn't expect to have, depending on what breed she got, her meat birds to be ready in 5 weeks like the commercial hens. And a lot of people are very discouraged or they don't realize that. I told her if she does get a specific meat breed, that, yeah, possibility they could be ready based on their diet in, I would say, 7 or 8 weeks. If she goes on and buys a specific meat bred bird from one of the hatcheries. But if she's getting a dual-purpose bird, that she's specifically wanting to eat, then it truly may take 16 to 20 weeks before they're ready to process and harvest. So I told her, depending on what breed she was looking at getting, don't expect them to be ready in 5 weeks like some of these commercial farms do and expect. So it was just kind of sharing some of those things with you that we answer on the ManaPro page with Ask the Chicken Whisperer. So, folks, we already issued the password for earlier today, but I'll go ahead and give it to you again. It was SPUR. Today's secret password is SPUR. Tomorrow is Friday, the 19th of November. We'll be giving away that awesome chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com, valued at $400. Beautiful coop. That'll be tomorrow, so you're going to want to tune in, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And it will be our last show for the holidays. We will not be broadcasting next week, except for Saturday, the 27th of November. We'll be broadcasting live at the Carpet City Bantam Club show, fall show in Dalton, Georgia. We'll have live video, live chat, and live radio. And if you're local, you can come on out to that poultry show. It's going to be a fun time. And last but not least, I want to remind everybody to please keep my nephew, police officer in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, was on a traffic stop yesterday, was shot four times, came out of the first surgery, is in another surgery now. So again, just send your prayers and thoughts for a speedy, healthy, and complete recovery for him. He's got a wife and a 15-month-old at home. So please pray for my nephew. And of course, while we're saying it, all the law enforcement officials out there and soldiers. So, Pat, it's all yours, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we're definitely praying all for your nephew, Whisper. That's just a tragedy, and I'm sure everything will come out exactly fine. So, of course, with the gratitude coming up with Thanksgiving, we're, of course, grateful to you, Andy Schneider, for bringing us all together for the Chicken Whisper Talk Show, and, of course, to all our chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for clucking along and learning along with us here. Thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and video services. Get ready for Thanksgiving, because here it comes. Blessings to all, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody. Ha ha.